Forte is sponsored by Beam Music. Are you tired of making copies and printing your music? Beam is the app that will make you actually like distributing music. Organize with collections, create set lists, keep track of time, and share powerful annotations on your sheet music. You know that feeling when you call up a stand tune and everyone frantically looks for the music? Those days are over. Activate Live Mode to automatically connect everyone in the ensemble to your device. When you select a piece of music, everyone's individual parts for that song are instantly displayed on their personal device, all without the need for internet. Head to udb.live/beam to have your entire music library everywhere. Beam, it's the sheet.
I've realized, because when you're in school, like, you feel like you have to, like, put on some kind of, like, facade or, like, some kind of, like, you know, like a teacher face, I suppose, or like a teacher personality. But the more that I teach, the more that I realize that the kids actually respond better to it when I'm myself.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. On today's episode, we have Sammy Rogers. Sammy Rogers is a music educator and percussionist based out of the Austin area. She has been extensively involved in the pageantry arts through her lifetime, competing in circuits such as Drum Corps International and Winter Guard International for over 7 years. Her performance experience in over pageantry arts includes Guardians, Academy, Boston Crusaders, Monarch Independent, and Music City Mystique, all spent playing marimba in the front ensemble. This episode is for all the teachers, band directors, drum corps, and indoor percussion fans, or students looking to pursue music education. We talk about developing confidence during the first year of teaching, drum corps, and our experiences as women in percussion. Sammy is such an amazing and sweet person, and I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome back to Femme Forte. Today I have Sammy Rogers from Grandview Hills Elementary. How are you today?
I am excellent.
Wonderful. Well, I know who you are, so go ahead and tell our listeners and viewers who you are, where you're from, and how you got your background in music and music education.
All right. So I am Sammy Rogers. I am originally from the Houston area, born and raised, went to school in Missouri City, Texas, graduated in 2017, started percussion at a very young age. I started doing percussion when I was in like fourth grade. I had taken piano lessons before that, so I was like okay at piano, but I like got my first pad and sticks when I was in fourth grade, and from then I knew I wanted to do percussion. I knew that I wanted to hit things. That was the cool thing to me, is the I want to play the instrument that hits things, not the one that does keys.
Yeah.
And so I did percussion from sixth grade all the way up to when I graduated high school, of course, in 2017. I started doing drum corps in high school as well when I was 15 years old after my sophomore year. And I did drum corps from then until I aged out, which is a very long time when you're 15 years old. So after I graduated, I attended Texas State University and I got my degree in music education with an emphasis in instrumental music, because I am technically qualified to teach more than just percussion. And from there, after I graduated, I spent 4.5 years at Texas State and graduated in fall of 2021. I got a job this year. So this is my first big girl job, as they call it. I got my job at Grandview and I've been there for about half-ish of a year.
Yeah. And how's your experience being your first year like officially teaching so far?
Well, there's definitely been ups and downs. There are some days where I'm like, yes, I'm killing the game today. I love this. This is great. But then there are some days that are like, oh my gosh, like this is so difficult. Why are these kids testing me like this? Why is everyone testing me like this? But I want to say that definitely the good outweighs the bad. Like, there is so much to be thankful for with my job. I love thinking about the fact that, like, I'm going to be the teacher that they're going to remember years and years and years from now. They're going to be like, oh, my elementary music teacher, Miss Rogers, she was kind of cool. She played drum set for us sometimes. So I think that at the end of the day, what makes all of the struggles and stress worth it is definitely knowing that, like, I'm impacting lives. Because I remember my elementary music teachers. I remember them so clearly. I remember them song, like the songs that they taught us. I remember like the programs we did. Like it's a very influential part of music education. I think people don't realize elementary music is. And it was especially impactful on me. It's what made me want to be a percussionist in middle school. So changing lives every day, living the dream.
No, that's truly amazing. And so I guess you would say like that was the pinnacle moment of you like wanting to pursue music and music education. I mean, growing up, did you always know that you wanted to pursue music education?
Definitely not. I mean, I was real flip-floppy on everything. I wanted to do STEM because that's what my sister did and my dad does. And I just wanted to do something where I knew I would be breaking some boundaries, you know, because like women in STEM, also very important, male dominated field, you know. And so I think I realized I wanted to do music education after my second year of drum corps. That was the summer of 2016. It was a very key part of my character development, I think. And it definitely motivated me to become a better leader, a better musician, and a better person. So after I got back from that summer, I knew like senior year, I was like, yep, I'm going to go try to get a music education degree somewhere. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't know I wanted to do elementary. I just knew I wanted to teach music because that's what I was passionate about. But that's pretty much when I decided I wanted to.
Yeah, and so do you think that through your drum corps experience, it really honed in and made it clearer for you that like music was like endgame?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had finally found something that I was really, really passionate about. Now, albeit it's pit front ensemble.
Hey, front ensemble is awesome. And
yes, there are like so many like points that I remember like watching like drum corps front ensembles. I was in open class, so you know, we would go and watch other pits, you know, after we performed. And I just remember watching them and like how coordinated they were and how much fun they were having performing. And I was like, man, that's what I want to do. And I want to like teach people to like music like that too. You know, and I think that's a really big part of elementary music education is music appreciation. When you're in middle school and high school taking music classes, you like the end goal is to like learn how to play an instrument, right? Or like to get ones at UIL or to like go to like state marching competition, right? But in elementary music, it's like teaching them what music is all about and why it's super sick.
I actually saw like a video that you posted. I think it was you're in academy and like you're doing like this, right? Like you're doing like this splitting thing.
You saw that video?
Yes. And oh. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening here?
I think that's the coolest thing I've ever done. Now, given with the split, so it like the hand-to-hand split, I had the downbeats. And so shout out to my split partner, Keegan Crawford. He is also a music educator in Texas right now. But he had the ups and he was pretty consistent. If anything, I was the inconsistent one. That was hard. Oh my gosh. But I love that I like have that video. Like somebody was like, because they were also splitting on a marimba, mm-hmm. and we were on the vibraphone, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I love that I like have that and I can be like, guys, look what I did. Look at this video. I did this.
Yeah, no, that was like super cool. And I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I played like top bass, you know, and indoor, but like splitting on a marimba or a keyboard in general was like unheard of to me. And I was like, this is so freaking cool.
Yes.
So going back to, you know, what you said, so you currently work as an elementary school teacher, but you also tech in Glen. But yeah, like when you told me that you tech for Glen, I didn't really know like Glen's program, but it wasn't until I came across a picture like from the Vista Ridge Marching Festival that happened this past fall. I was there. My brother, who also is a marching band student who participated in the competition, I went there to see him, but I also saw the other bands perform. And so, yeah, I saw the drum set player that was highlighted in that show was a woman. And so I think that was like really, really cool to see. So knowing that you were a part of the program, I was like, oh, she's part of that show. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, the drum set player, her name is Yuvia. She's really, really awesome. She made the All-State Percussion Ensemble, like amazing musician. And it's really cool that like our strongest player and leader just so happens to be a woman. Because I feel like I never saw that a lot growing up. I never saw a lot of, like, those, like, female all-staters, you know, like, super cool, plays drum set really well. She's awesome, yeah. She was the, she was also our ensemble captain for this indoor season. And she is just such an inspiring leader. I wish that I had seen that when I was in high school. Like, I wish I had a leader like her.
Yeah, and so being, you know, as myself, I'm also a female percussionist. What has your experience been like being a female percussionist?
It's definitely been challenging. I think back on, like, my middle school and high school years and remember being, like, one of, like, two or three girls in the section. I was on the drum line in high school for a couple years, and I remember it being a point of pride for me, you know, being, like, the only girl on the drum line. And then looking back on it, I definitely was thinking to myself, ooh, I'm on the drum line, I'm cool. But now I'm like, it's kind of cool that I was, like, breaking some boundaries there.
Yeah, I definitely think that as time passes on, we definitely see, like, a lot more female percussionists. I mean, there's things like, if you've heard of the Hit Like a Girl contest, there's things like Girls March, and I think that's wonderful and awesome. And it's so cool, like, now that I'm older, to see those places and those resources become more popular and gain more traction, because that is certainly something that I also wish that I had.
Yeah, I wish I had that. It's always been a huge struggle being a girl, like, being one of the only girls, like, in the percussion sections that I've been in. Even in college, there were, like, three girls in the studio out of, like, 30 of us. Like, yeah, a lot. And I was lucky enough that when I went to Texas State, my studio professor was a woman.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was one of the main selling points for Texas State for me. Because, I mean, how often do you ever hear of, like, a female percussion professor, right? Yeah. And so as soon as I heard, like, oh, yeah, like, one of the professors is a woman, I was like, oh, I've got to study with her. I just, like, it's more comforting because she knows the struggles, you know, like, she's been through it all. Yeah, you know, and she was an incredible inspiration to me. Her name is Carrie Clear, professor at Texas State. She such an inspiration to me. I could not have gotten through college without her. Like, I had so many struggles, specifically with, like, rudimental snare drum. Couldn't do it. I could not do it. But she pushed me. She didn't let me give up. And luckily, I made it out alive, and I just can't thank her enough for getting her where I am today.
For me, let me see if I can remember. I didn't have or was taught by any female, like, band director in terms specifically related to percussion, mm-hmm, until college. It was actually my sophomore year of college. I actually still was taking, like, private lessons within the college, but I wasn't at that time I just switched majors, but I still wanted to keep doing lessons. And we had gotten an adjunct professor by the name of Del Smith, and she was,
I know Del.
No way.
Because she got her grad degree at Texas State.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. Well, yeah. So she, mm-hmm, was an adjunct at Texas A&M Kingswell, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she was the one, my private lessons teacher. And so I had her for a semester. And that was the first time that specifically, like, percussion. And it was cool that it was on drum set that she was giving me lessons at the university. That's so cool that you know her.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think I've had many interactions with her. But, like, when she came to Texas State, it was like, oh, we've got a grad student drum set player. She's a girl. I was like, whoa, sick. That's so cool. And she was really talented. Like, she was in, like, the salsa ensembles and stuff and the jazz bands, like the top jazz ensemble. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that, you never see that. Man, you never see that. Like, so the world of female percussionists is here. The world of female drum set players, even less, way less. So she's cool. I wish I talked to her more. Del, if you're listening, please talk to me. Please.
Yeah, no, I follow. I'm not super close with her or anything. I follow her on Facebook and, you know, keep up with her. But no, that's super cool. I actually went to the Parker Jazz Club recently, mm-hmm. where Texas State Jazz Ensemble was playing. And really? And luckily, I totally forgot about this, but two of my friends I used to play with at Texas A&M Kingsville now are grad students at the jazz program at Texas State. So that was cool. Super cool to see. So you talked about drum corps, you talked about teching and being an elementary teacher. Let's talk about your indoor experience.
Oh, yes. So I only have 3 seasons of indoor under my belt. So I did a little group called Violet Crown Independent. They do not exist anymore. I was in their inaugural year. So, well, first of all, I have to say that my original degree, I was supposed to graduate in 5 years, right? Because music education degrees have a lot of credits. Mm-hmm. And so with my advisor, we had planned on 5 years. Well, when COVID hit, summer of 2020, that was the first year that I hadn't done drum corps since 2015.
Yeah.
Like, I had already done 5 seasons of drum corps, and then it was just canceled, and I was like, what do I do? So I ended up taking some online classes just to fill some time. Well, those extra credits actually got me to got me to the point where I could graduate a semester earlier in the fall. So when I told my studio professor this, she was like, oh, you should go move to do indoor. Like Carrie was like, you should move. That would be really cool. And I remember because the only year I marched indoor before that was 2017. I remember seeing Music City Mystique in the lot. Which, by the way, 2 girls on that marimba line. That is so cool. That is so, so cool. But I remember seeing Music City Mystique in the lot and just like, whoa, like they are next level. So I was like, okay, out of all these groups that I can march all over the United States, I think I want to do Mystique. So in preparation for that, I ended up doing Monarch Independent in 2021, which was a very valuable experience. I played N Marimba, learned a lot. And like, since I've been a percussion person in Texas doing drum corps, like I already kind of knew a lot of people in Monarch. And so it was cool to like get to, and you know, there was no competition, like pretty, I'm not going to say it was stress-free, but it was a cool experience getting to like play some like difficult music with like close friends with like no like worry about like, oh, we've got a show on this date and we've got to go to Dayton. No, we were just playing lot tunes and having fun. So I really did value my time with Monarch. And it definitely prepared me for, because I mean, I was playing that 5-octave marimba part and that's what I played at Mystique. So anyways, I graduate during my student teaching semester. My last semester of college is when I was auditioning for Music City Mystique. I ended up making the marimba line. So I had to fly out for a couple weekends till I graduated. And then after I graduated is when I moved. So I lived in Tennessee for about 6 months while I was at Music City Mystique. Played N Marimba, the 5-octave part, the best part, by the way, the best part. And it was a very, very valuable and rewarding experience for me. I want to say out of all of my seasons of everything, definitely one of the most influential, definitely one where I learned so much. But it was also the hardest one because I just felt so much pressure. I was on a marimba line with all vets. I was the only girl on the marimba line, which is a big thing. It's a big thing. And there has just been so much history behind Mystique, like a long, rich history of excellence. And I felt like I had to keep that going. And I was putting myself under a lot of stress. But I ended up on the other side alive, feeling good. Thank God. And I would not trade that experience for anything in the world. Like, I think about anywhere else I could have been that season, and I'm like, I don't regret it. I loved my time there. I love the family that I made. Like, I am so, like, grateful for that experience, and it was such a big influence on me that I'm like, I'm going to WGI finals this year so I can see all my friends and cheer on Mystique. And so that was fun. And then I moved back and I got a job. So it's for the past like 2 years, it's been like nonstop, like doing things.
So. No, that's so cool. And like, it's so cool that like your professor like
encourage you to move. I mean, I never really had any of that and didn't even know until a few years ago that like there were people out there who do that, who like move simply like for indoor groups and or, you know, drum corps or whatever. And I think that's like such a cool and amazing experience. I mean, one of the things that I'm trying to like prioritize more in my life is like to travel and like, because I've only been in Texas. I'm from San Antonio, so right. I went from San Antonio to Austin, so not too far away. But besides like your professor, like what motivated you to like take that leap of faith to move to a completely different state?
Well, I definitely knew that because when COVID, so my age out summer was always 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So 2020 was the year that I made the Boston Crusaders, which loved my experience at the Boston Crusaders. But I made the Marimba line in 2020 and then it got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what did I work so hard for? And then the summer of 2021 happened. And it was still amazing summer, valuable experience. But I didn't feel like I didn't feel complete. I didn't feel like I didn't feel accomplished.
Yeah.
Not to diss on any of my other years of drum corps. Every single year that I had was a valuable experience. But I don't know, like just like not having a real age out, like not like a complete season. Like I felt like, well, indoor is my last chance to get like a final, like real season,
yeah.
You know, because I mean, prior to that, it was 2019 was the last real season that it had been years. It had been like 2 or 3 years. So I was definitely motivated to motivated to do Mystique because I didn't get my age out summer really.
Yeah.
And specifically, one thing that's always motivated me when auditioning places that are far away is how expensive the plane flights are. Like, I had to fly out. I flew out twice for the auditions, and I was like, if I don't make it, I just wasted money on two flights, so I can't do that. Because I was poor. I was in college. Like, yeah. I did not have a lot of money. I saved up money from the summer of 2020, so I had like enough money to pay for like both of those flights.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not about to like let this experience go to waste. I know I could have probably marched somewhere else in Texas and totally have been fine. But like I said, Mystique has been kind of like that dream for me.
Yeah. Is there any part in your career or any performances like through that experience or other experiences that have been like your proudest moment?
Oh, yes. Well, I definitely, so I feel like my most proudest moments came from Mystique because that was pretty much like the hardest music I've ever played, probably ever.
Yeah.
And not to say that the other ones I wasn't proud of, but like it, like I said, Mystique was like a big struggle for me. I had a lot of struggles with like my chops and like keeping up with everyone else, you know, because I came from like drum corps experiences where it's like it wasn't all about chops. We wanted to play our harmonic minor scales and our modes and, you know, like that sort of like vanguard sort of style of front ensemble. And so I didn't have the chops like everyone else. So that was a big, big, big struggle for me. And so like at the end of the season, finally being able to play the book was definitely something that I was definitely proud of. But I think the most proudest moment that I had, something that I still tell people about to this day, in our semis lot, so that's the lot that's in the middle of the day, not at night. So my prelims lot, I was so nervous. I have horrible performance anxiety, by the way. I have always had horrible performance anxiety. And so prelims lot, not great. But semis, I don't know what happened. I don't know what it was, but something was in the air. And I had a great lot. I had cameras in my face. And that's a really big deal for like somebody with performance anxiety. Like a really, really, really big deal. And I managed to keep it together and have like the best lot of my life. And I was just so happy in that moment. But the icing on the cake was after we finished the lot. So the guy who founded Music City Mystique, his name is Don Click. He actually lives here in Texas. Don Click pulled me aside after the lot and he said, oh my gosh, like you are just so much fun to watch. You're like an amazing performer. Like I wish that you had another year at Mystique. we are so like lucky that you chose us. And I was like, oh my God, like he started this thing and he's like, you're really telling me this right now, man, I'm gonna cry. Like, and he like gave me a hug and that moment right there, it like changed my life forever. It changed my trajectory. It made me realize like, dang, I did that. I did that.
I just love those moments. Like when I know for me, like my high school band director like meant like so much to me. And like anytime like he would be super proud of my performances or even give me like a fist bump or something, just like that validation that like this person has seen you grow as a performer. And it's really cool that even, you know, someone as important as him would like be like, wow, like this is like absolutely amazing. That's truly like a cool experience.
And performance energy is something that I have always strived for since the first time I ever watched a drum corps front ensemble. Like I was just so impressed with the performance, and it's always been something that I've like sort of prided myself on and something that I've always like strove for. So to hear that from somebody so like important to like the history of the group that I was in was really, really cool. But that being said, when you were mentioning those little validation things, like I feel like that's something that is often looked over in education. Like they teach you all about like giving comments and critiques and like, you know, like ways that you can like make the students better. But like, not often do we as students hear the praise, right? And that's just as important, because I feel like everybody deals with the imposter syndrome, you know, like they always talk about imposter syndrome, but everybody deals with like, I don't know if I'm doing well enough, you know? So like those little moments of validation are really, really important. It's just as important as like the critique that you give your students, you know? So I try to do that in my teaching. Sometimes I forget, but I definitely like when I give credit where credit is due.
Speaking of your teaching, like, is there a difference, I mean, besides the age group that you're teaching, in the way that you teach your elementary students versus when you tech at Glenn?
Honestly, not much. I mean, with the elementary kids, the only difference is I say 1, 2, 3, eyes on me when I want to get their attention, you know? But like the way that I speak with the students, I mean, of course it changes from like kinder to fifth, but I would say that the way that I talk to my older students, like third, fourth, and fifth, is pretty similar to the way that I talk to my high schoolers, because at that age, third, fourth, and fifth, they do want to be treated like adults and they can handle it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as I have taught more and more, I've realized, because when you're in school, like you feel like you have to like put on some kind of like facade or like some kind of like, you know, like a teacher face, I suppose, or like a teacher personality. But the more that I teach, the more that I realize that the kids actually respond better to it when I'm myself. And myself, like me as a person, is weird. I'm weird. I admittedly will say that I am weird, but that like that just shows the kids that like you're a person too. You know, you're not just a teacher, you're a person. And I feel like they respond really well to that. So I do that with all my kids. I'm weird and I'm myself and they still listen to me, so it's working.
Yeah, I know we had in a previous discussion kind of like there's a different love that you get about teaching your elementary students versus your high schooler students. I know you mentioned a little bit, some part of it is one group is like you like forming the foundation and one group is a little different. So can you explain a little bit more of the two different loves you have for that?
Well, definitely with the elementary level, it's, you know, starting to get their love for music working, music appreciation, all that stuff. With the high schoolers, it's interesting because specifically I teach front ensemble, like specifically front ensemble, you know? And there's that talk about product versus process-based learning. Mm-hmm. So product-based learning is like, we are learning this with an end goal in mind. Like, we're learning this because we have a marching competition that we have to go to. And yeah. process-based learning is learning for the sake of learning, you know, like learning about everything to get better at something, I suppose. I don't think I explained that in the best way. But anyways, but, you know, high school, mainly product-based learning. But I also like to add a little bit of that process in there because that's something that whenever a pit tech I had would add something in that, like, we didn't necessarily need to know for the Marching Band show, but it was just, like, you know, like, a little bit more knowledge in music. I always, like, really appreciated that, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, let me teach you about this music theory thing real fast. And it's like, this is really cool. Like, thank you for showing me this. This has nothing to do with our show, but thank you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love teaching my high school front ensemble kids how to love front ensemble, of course, but also how to love music too. You know, I teach them the theory stuff. Like, it gets boring teaching the same, like, marching band show, like, cleaning every single day. So I make sure to add in, like, a little break or two of, like, just like, hey, let's learn about our, like, 1-4-5 chords, or, like, let's learn about these modes and, like, the sharps and the flats of, you know, like, yeah, like what we raise in the scales and all that stuff. I do both. Now, am I doing that every day? Of course not. But I feel like I'm still sort of planting that sort of seed in their brain. Like, I want to know more about this. You know, I want to know more about this music theory stuff. It's kind of cool.
Kind of pivoting a little bit. Obviously, this podcast is not only to highlight and share your story about you, but it's also to just talk about our role as women in this organization, in this community. One of the things that was really interesting that you pointed out in our first discussion was the fact that, for the most part, you've had female center marimbas. And that's, like, kind of been, like, a really cool experience, not only for you, but, like, it's also interesting because growing up you didn't have, like, a lot of female role models and band directors.
Yeah, and I think it has a whole lot to do with just, like, the changing world that we live in. Like, you know, like, 100 years ago, like, women could barely vote, you know? So that, like, our world is just changing, and so I think that, like, before, like, female percussionists, not as common at all, which is why we're not seeing a whole lot of female music educators right now, but we are seeing a lot more females in percussion in general.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, in the coming years, we're going to have a huge influx of female educators, which is really cool. But I mean, that I think that plays into, like, the fact that I mostly had female center marimbas. Like, that's just the way that it was. And I didn't realize it at the time, but, like, that's kind of rare. Like, I had all female center marimbas. I think the first one that I had that was not a girl was at Monarch in 2021. That was after, like, 5 or 6 years of drum corps. And, yeah, like, and I mean, I definitely didn't realize how much of, like, a rarity that was at the time. But it's cool looking back on it now. But I definitely, like, with having those female role models, I definitely also saw, like, I saw some ways that, like, we face more struggles as women because, you know, like, when a boy tells somebody what to do, they're like, oh, he's strong, he's a leader. But when a girl tells someone what to do, sometimes it's like, oh, well, she's like, bossy and she's, like, moody. And, you know, that connotation with it.
Yeah.
And I definitely saw that with, like, some of my female section leaders. Like, they weren't being treated the way that they should have because simply they were women and the connotation of what they said was different than the connotation of what men say.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely bothers me. I'm like, that does not need to happen. But that's a societal thing. That's something that will change over time. But it's definitely present, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that, like, female leaders face a lot of these struggles because they are women, simply because they are women, no other reason.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that, like, in my experience. I mean, I grew up as the well-known kid in band, but not the popular or well-liked kid in band. And I really do, I was that typical, like, super like ban was every other word that came out of my mouth person. But when I was, you know, section leader and eventually drumline captain in high school, it was hard. It was very hard. I did not get the same respect that, you know, my friends in this, you know, in the section got. And looking back on it now, some of it makes me ask myself if it was because I was a woman. I certainly think I at the time it wasn't the first thing that came to mind. Now more than ever, kind of realize that gap and realize that is like a thing that exists, and I can also have my own personal experience to share. So do you think through those experiences, like, it has motivated you to become a better leader and a role model for the future generation, next generation that you're currently teaching?
I think so, because I mean, through those experiences, like, we can learn from it, you know?
Yeah.
And I can teach people to learn from it, I suppose. I don't know. But like I said, like, changing world, things will change. But yeah, I mean, growing up as like a female percussionist, not easy. A female leader, definitely not easy. Ooh. Sorry, I wish I had more to say on it, but I'm like, I mean, unfortunately, that's just where we are. Like, yeah. Like I said, women were only able to vote about 100 years ago. So, like, we're still making progress.
Yeah. Well, if I can say something, I think, like, in the time that I've gotten to know you, I absolutely think you're kicking ass at what you're doing. I think through every person I've brought on this show, I love looking for the bigger story and looking, like, I know that when I pick people and ask people to be on the show, it's for a good reason. And I think one of the things, like, about you is, as someone who knows how hard it is, especially through your first couple years of teaching, I think you're handling it with so much grace.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so I'm sure other people want to ask this question, but I'm genuinely curious, how have you built the confidence? How have you just, you know, take it day by day and not have so much stress through your first year teaching? I mean, it's almost wrapped up at this point now.
Yeah, it is. Well, I guess you have to find, and anybody who is like insanely busy with anything will tell you this, you have to find something outside of your job, which my job is teaching, to sort of keep you sane, to keep you busy outside of work, so that, you know, you're not so stressed, like some decompression time, right? For me, that's playing video games. Like, playing video games is what I look forward to after school. It's like what I can do to like not think about, because it's stressful. Like, I mean, not only do I have a full-time job, I'm also teaching so many hours at Glenn after school. Marching season, it's 8 hours, you know, UIL 8-hour rule. But for the indoor program, we rehearse a lot more hours. And so, you know, like any like possible free time I had, I was like, gonna relax, gonna decompress a little bit. So definitely like finding that thing. And another thing for me, other than video games, that I use to like decompress, I roller skate. I've been roller skating for about 3 years. And anytime that I have a free night and there's an adult night at the rink, I get my skates and I go on over there. And it's like, it's a nice little escape from, because it has nothing to do with music. I mean, like, they play music there, but like, it has nothing to do with what I do on like a daily basis. So it's cool to have something that is mine and is not like work related.
Well, you mentioned roller skating, and I'm like, I did some in San Antonio, and I was like, damn, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Let's go roller skating sometime. There's a couple rinks in Austin that I like to go to. This is going to sound kind of funny. One of the main reasons that I stayed in Austin, because I could have gotten a job in like Houston. They definitely pay more in Houston.
Yeah.
Or like some other city, whatever.
Yeah.
But the main reason I want to stay in Austin is because the roller skating scene here is big. And I got into it when I was in college. And so, like, that's kind of a big part of my life. Like, that's something that I I do a lot, like a lot more than I am, you know, willing to admit. But yeah, so I stayed in Austin because I wanted to keep being in the roller skating scene and keep doing that. So I'm glad that it's like a hobby I've kept up with, because most of the hobbies I pick up, I like drop them like 3 months later.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Before we wrap up here, I have two kind of last questions for you. Okay. The first one is, at this point in your life and in your career, who do you want to be and what experiences do you want to create?
Ooh, I think I want to be the person that, I definitely want to be the type of educator that inspires. I mean, everybody wants to, but I mean, you think about music educators you've had in the past, the ones that are the most influential, the ones that have a big impact on you. I think I want to be that for others. I do. I want to create better experiences than I had, because I've had a lot of amazing experiences. I've also had a lot of really bad experiences. And, you know, like good and bad, all of those experiences are learning moments. And so I can like think back on my time and think about, this was good, this was bad, so I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
So I just want to create like a better experience and a better future for like the musicians of tomorrow. Not to be cheesy, but
no, that's, I love that. I love that so much. And the last question I have to you for you is, knowing the knowledge that you have now, what is something that you wish you knew or advice you would have told yourself, kind of as that younger percussionist, just, you know, whether it's your first, you know, whether it's right before your first year of teaching or whether it's like being in band and being a percussionist for the first time?
I would definitely say to myself, be humble. Be like, be more willing to admit you're wrong. Because in the beginning there, I was not, and I learned that eventually, but be more willing to, like, more open to making mistakes. Be okay with the mistakes, really. I think that, like, because I've got a lot of anxiety, and I'm always anxious about making mistakes, but I want to tell my younger self, like, it's okay. It really is. It's okay to make mistakes, because mistakes are just learning opportunities. Yeah. That's all they are. Like, sure, you did it wrong. It was a mistake. Oopsies. But now you know what to do for next time so that you don't make that mistake again. Like, I wish I would have told, like, I wish I would have knew that, like, everything is a learning opportunity, even the mistakes, even the bad stuff.
Well, thank you once again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Human Twin. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drillbook. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app, and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB App Pro. Stride TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to stridetv.com and use code FEMFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stride TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community.